Have your Bibles, would you turn with me this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Downstairs, they have been finishing up the last class of Vacation Bible School. They had 6 lessons. They did 4 of them. And last week they finished that up, one, and then today. So if you, after service, need to have a picture with Mr. Incredible, it's your last chance. Amen. So you have to slip right downstairs real quick after service is over with. Amen. What a great Vacation Bible School, lingering on. And it's just fantastic that all of the kids come together and experience the lesson hour and the activities. I do not know what the 2 science guys was coming up with this morning, but another science experiment. And I'm sure he went wrong somewhere along the way, but there's a lesson to be learned, and everything is positive or negative. There's a lesson to be learned. Amen. Again, thankful for this congregation that you're so much involved in doing and helping in so many areas. Coming up, of course, first Friday, but I was thinking about the, I think we're giving away 100 backpacks in combined community services. I think it's this coming Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, that at the fairgrounds, the combined community services are coming, and it's going to be a county-wide giveaway. On our backpacks, this afternoon, there'll be attached a laminated card with the church's logo and information and address and so on and so forth. And that'll be attached to the 100 backpacks that were donating from this church. So it's an endeavor. It's being a part of the community and helping with those children in the county, in the community as well, to give them a backpack for school, to carry their heavy burden of knowledge in the books and stuff they carry to that. We'll be including some information in the backpack, and maybe a notepad and so on and so forth. But it's a great opportunity to outreach. This church is about outreach. It's about evangelism. It's about seeing those that are lost to be found. Those that have lost their way to be restored. I'm so glad that I'm a part of a congregation that believes in restoring and also at the same time of introducing people that will cause their sadness to be lightened and their sorrows and their burdens to be lifted. Amen. We're living in the last days of the church age. Signs and wonders are in the heavens, in the skies. God said there would be so in the last days, even more so right now than probably has ever happened before. So it is time, whether the world will do it or not, to take notice of these things, to be aware that we're living in the last days of the church age. When the rapture of the church takes place, the world will continue to go on. They will come up with excuses, the reasons why so many are missing out of the world, but nevertheless, you try to ignore it, it's still there, a haunting fact that they missed the coming of the Lord to take away a people for His name's sake. So, I was speaking Wednesday night about the importance of the umbilical cord. As far as a mother is concerned and a child that she is carrying, that umbilical cord is the very thing that brings forth the DNA, the identity of that child as it is born, as it is grown, its looks, its shape. It is the lifeline that provides the nutrients, the blood source from the mother unto the child. It is also that important part of our lives that we stay connected to God. Because if we're not connected to Him, we do not get the spiritual nutrients that we need in our soul, in our lives. We need to have something flowing from God to us. If that cord is ever disconnected, then consequently that which flows from God to us is not going to reach us. You see, what is the umbilical cord for us spiritually? I mentioned it Wednesday night, but I will tell you straight out, it is prayer. Prayer is the umbilical cord that we're still connected to God with. It is through prayer, it is through that communications with God that brings forth the very substance that we need. I need answered prayer, but more than that, I need relationship. I need communion with God. Through prayer, you're able to get that. If you're ever going to live above this world, then you need power for living. Power for living. Not power in the natural sense that you can manufacture, but a power for living that comes from God. Why is it so important to pray with the power of the Holy Ghost? It is so important, church, that when you're praying, that you pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. I think we have a slide up that will keep that in front of your mind for a little while. We need, turn to your neighbor and say, you need power for living. Turn to your neighbor. Your husband may need that. Your wife may need that. And if they're not here right now, that because of downstairs, tell them that when you see them. You need power for living. Something inside of us that's going to be awesome. Absolutely. And all too often, the spirit, our spirit, my spirit, your spirit that lives within us. Our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. We need God's help to overcome the tug of our carnal nature. Amen. Spirit is willing. How often have you been willing? And then if you don't grab the opportunity, as was spoken here this morning, it passes. The enemy comes in and tells you that was just your feeling. And it was God that was moving on your feeling and your spirit to act upon praying for somebody or speaking a word of hope to someone, giving someone the ability to hold on a little bit longer. Being filled with the Holy Ghost places the power of God in our disposal to carry out the work of the kingdom of God. Church, we're here this morning because you have a power that resides within the side of you. Soon after being baptized in the Holy Ghost, most believers notice a marked change in their ability to pray and to walk in God's anointing. It's so important in these last days that we walk in the anointing of God under the inspiration of the guidance of the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen on that this morning? The Apostle Paul wrote here in Thessalonians to the church in Thessalonica, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what it's saying here, that your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your body cannot be held blameless unless it's got power of the Holy Ghost living inside of it. If you got the power of the Holy Ghost, your body is going to respond to the effects of that power. This scripture shows us that three parts of humankind, he's made of body, he's made up of soul, and he's made up of spirit. If these three parts were the same, Paul never would have prayed that each of them would be wholly preserved. If we want to have a successful prayer life and reach out full potential with God, Then, listen to me this morning, each of those parts must be understood and put in their proper place. Each of these parts affects our prayer life. If your body's not feeling good, you don't feel like praying. Amen? Amen. Come on, if your soul is not right with God, there's no desire and a push to pray. If your spirit is not connected with God, your spirit doesn't have any life in it. And without life, there is nothing desiring to find God. The words holy and preserved in Paul's writings, I think, is very significant. Holy means to completely, absolutely reach the limit or potential. Preserved means to guard, to watch, to keep an eye on, to keep something in its place. So as we pray, we must be connected with these three parts. I think each element plays such a significant role in the source or the failure of our prayer life. When you talk about your body, the body entails our flesh and fleshly appetites. The flesh never wants to pray. The flesh never awakens your body, your soul, your spirit. There is no desire to seek after God. The flesh is the enmity with God and does not understand His ways. When you slip into your flesh, you'll never understand why God wants you to do this or why God wants you to do that. Because once you slip into the flesh, it is a fight and a war that's going on between you and God. I want to, but something holds me back. Paul said, every time I try to do good, evil is always present. The flesh is fighting against the spirit. Calls it enmity in Romans chapter number 8. Calls the flesh would never come under the subjection of the Spirit of God. Won't come under the discipline. The flesh does not want to be disciplined. The flesh will sit back and say, you don't have to pray. It's going to happen either way, whether you pray or you don't. Then it will happen. But we must go into combat to get the certain prayer we need answered. You've got to enter into a place where you say, oh boy, you're gonna pray where you like to pray or not. Oh boy, you're going to find God whether you want to find Him or not. It was made mention this morning about how we look. I said, or someone said, about the fact of a mirror. When you look in that mirror, you need to talk to that mirror. Your kids may think you're a little funny. Your wife may say, what did you say, honey? You can say to her, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the person in the mirror. I was telling him, oh boy, you're going to have to do this and so. There's nothing like looking a person in the eye and telling them something. And when you look in the mirror, you've got a good opportunity to look yourself right in the eye and tell yourself a few things. Amen? Let's talk about the soul. The soul of man is sandwiched between the body, which never wants to pray or do right, and the spirit, which desires God and desires spiritual things. Why does your spirit desire spiritual things? Because when God made Adam, He breathed in his nostrils and he became a living soul. He became a part or extension of God. God is spirit, and the spirit breathed life into the nostrils of Adam. Even though Adam sinned and mankind had failed God, there's something there inside of every human being on this earth today. May look different from you, the culture may be different from yours, but don't you forget there is life inside of that body. There is a spark of a spirit still there. And if God can hit against that spirit with His spirit and spark a little bit of life, something will come alive inside of that life. I tell you, the power of the Holy Ghost is something. When I was dead of trespasses and sin, when I did not know God like I should have known God, when I came to the altar and repented my sins, there was something that hit against my spirit. calls a spark and a jump started life inside of me that's been laying dead for a long, long time. Oh, let me tell you something, child of God. Allow the Holy Ghost to spark something inside of you. It will come alive and bring forth the fire. Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, let's worship God this morning. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Oh, the Spirit wants to come alive. The Spirit wants the things of God. It just sandwiched between the flesh. The soul entails our emotions. The soul is where our feelings and weakness. The soul is where the past is kept. An ongoing, progressive, renewing work occurs in our soul. When we pray with our soul, we pray with our intellect. When you pray with your soul, you pray with understanding to the best of your ability. But to go into a deep spiritual warfare, we must go beyond logic and intellect. Do not let your mind control the things that you know about God. Don't use that old terminology, I know. Well, if you know, then you need to do it better. If you know to do better, you need to do it even best. Come on. Let's talk about the Spirit. When you were lost, your spirit was dead in trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Now that you are saved, born again, water and spirit, however, your spirit has been quickened, which means to vitalize, to cause to live, to be vibrant, to be strong, as the Holy Ghost begins to have an intimate relationship with our spirit. We begin to produce the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. The Holy Ghost wants to know you are in intimate relationship. It doesn't want just a service relationship. Sometimes you come to church and it's just a service relationship. Your spirit is fighting God's spirit. Your soul is not interested in doing the things that God wants to be done. It is your spirit that begins to ignite the realization. I watched this morning in this congregation as I worship, and I watched some of you worship here this morning. You worship out of a need in your life or a need in your situation. You worship out of a problem that you're going through. You worship God because you know God is the only one that can save you from your problem or open the door that seems to be closed. I'm here to tell you this morning, thank God that your spirit was alive enough to realize it is God and God alone that can open the door, make a way where there seems to be no way, that can lift you above the shadows of this life. Plant your feet upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, shalaboko, shalabaha. Genesis 4:25 says, Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. Intimacy results in fruits or offsprings. The Apostle Paul wrote, that I may know him in Philippians 3:10, which implies a close relationship, one that causes us to partake in God's experiences. But you can't know Christ in resurrecting power until you know him in the suffering of his death. Our old man, our old flesh, must be crucified with him daily as we begin to change from glory to glory. I don't like struggle, but struggle is necessary. Who likes pain? But pain sometimes is necessary. The Apostle Paul knew Jesus in the pardon and forgiveness of sin, but still longed to know him intimately. For this to occur, two things had to happen. One, forgetting those things which are behind. Philippians 3:13. There's some things in your life you need to lay alone. Leave it alone. Lay it there in the blood of Jesus Christ. They were not all bad or all questionable activities that Paul had, but they were not satisfying either. You may not be where you want to be with God You're not satisfied. They left Paul crying out for more of God. Did your soul cry out for more of God? Second thing is reaching forth unto those things which are before. Philippians 3 and 13. There's things that we have not seen, things we have not heard, things we have not tasted, seen, nothing. You know, it's you got to reach for those things. Reaching. How do you reach, Pastor? You reach by vision, by faith. You speak it as it is before it ever happens. Reaching before, laying a hold and grabbing that which is there. Amen? Sometimes we get the philosophy, well, if God wants it done, He'll just do it. Well, honey, He ain't going to do it without you. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, without vision, what's faith? It is things hoped for, evidence of things unseen. It's as if it were, but yet not here yet. But God, I know that all power lies within you. You see, the Apostle Paul wanted to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3 and 14. He wanted to become spiritually intimate with Jesus, produce the fruit. What are you producing? Grumpiness. Ain't going my way. It ain't happening. I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm wore out. Stop giving people elbows. Why speak in tongues? Well, I got your attention. Why speak in tongues? This is a good question asked by many intelligent people. Why should anyone speak in tongues? You may say, well, tongues mainly express the language of God. In order for us to reach the will of God for our lives, we must be able to communicate with God. Is this a Holy Ghost-filled congregation? We believe in speaking other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Amen? You speaking in tongues is not a strange new doctrine. In fact, it's been around for hundreds, even thousands of years. God poured it out at the inception of the birth of the New Testament church, and He's never taken it away. His direct communications with the church was through His Spirit. In the upper room, beginning in the New Testament church, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost. Begin to speak with other tongues. There was people there that when they come piling out of that upper room and hit the streets of Jerusalem, every man heard him speak in his own tongue from the country he was from. You see, the Holy Ghost is a language, a real language, true language. You may not understand, but God understands it. He gave it to you. Before we cover several scriptures, reasons for this practice, I would like to share a little example. It's an old example, but here again, I'm old. You wouldn't say amen on that, would you? You're very wise. Very wise congregation. How many of you remember the CB days? CB radios. Citizen band. I got a couple older ones in here too. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. A CB radio gives you the ability to speak to other people. Come in, good buddy. 10-4. It provides you and puts you on the same frequency. The people you're talking to. Different people use different channels for a variety of reasons. Whatever channel you use to transmit or receive on. Channel 9 was sort of an open public channel. People would have their separate channels. Channel 21 or 19 or whatever it might be. CB radios in that specific channel or frequencies. Anytime you need police or emergency assistance, you can switch to that particular frequency and no one else could monitor that conversation. This may seem like a crude allegory, but the spirit world sends messages. The Bible says that Satan is the prince and the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. If we stay on the same frequency, he can pick up our transmission. But Satan cannot monitor the emergency channel. His squelch cannot tune in because it is just a bunch of static to him. He cannot make out what we're saying. Praying in the Spirit is a frequency that Satan cannot pick up. When you're speaking in tongues, that devil goes into a fit because he don't know what you're talking about. Why not when he's speaking tongues? It's a direct communication. It is the emergency frequency that you talk between you and God. Your neighbor don't know what you're talking about. Your friend don't know what you're talking about. But God knows what you're talking about. The devil doesn't. You ever get drunk in the Spirit? Amen. It's better than getting drunk on wine.
Right, it is. I don't know about
you. Any kind of booze. The devil was in a complete fit of confusion. And all of the devils, when that approximate 120 people come stumbling out of the upper room and they were speaking in other tongues. Someone says it has gone away. It's not for us today. Well, that's what the devil wants you to believe, because he don't want no secret communications going on between you and God. Come on. When you begin to get in prayer, I'm talking about get in prayer. Oh, I'm talking about when you pass the flesh. When you pass the carnal mind that keep bombarding your mind when you're on your knees. When you get past your soul that tries to bring up your past or what you did wrong or whatever. And you can get past that and you get to the soul, and the soul is hungering and desiring something from God. God, I've got to have something from you. Oh, that when you press into that next level, into the next realm, and all of a sudden there's something inside of you bubbling up and begins to move like never moved before. It was the power of the Holy Ghost. It is the power of life. The same power that breathed into Adam's nostril is now flowing into your spirit, and your spirit now is making that connection, and you're speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. What in the world are you talking about? I don't know, but God knows. You see, I'm going through a struggle. Well, you need to speak in tongues for a while. You need to tell God about your trouble. Tell God about your problem. You need to get the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. I'm talking about you need the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. When's the last time you spoke in tongues? Daddy's down here now. When's the last time you spoke in tongues? Did your spirit try to talk you out of it? Did your soul long for it, but you couldn't get past your spirit and your flesh? Paul said you press towards the mark of the high calling. Now, what is the high calling? Pass out tracts. No, it's higher than that. To be a witness for God, something. No, it's higher than that. What's the high calling? It's the thing that took him to the cross of Calvary. He died for the sins of mankind to bring man back in right relationship with him. So you press towards the mark of the high call. What's the high call? To walk back in relationship with God. To be in communion with God. To be in the Spirit with God. It is a high calling. There's nothing any higher calling than that. Well, I got a call to preach the gospel. That's good, brother. But have you got the power of living inside your life? Do you have the power of God moving in your life? Do you have the power to, whoa, wait a minute. This woman needs prayer in the name of Jesus. Make prayer. Healed body, soul, mind, and Spirit. Amen. It ain't left up to what you think. Ain't it left up your education? It's left up to God. And if you don't want God, God don't want you. Ask me how that I know that. Well, there was an ark built one day, and God put a door in that ark. And for 120 years, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And nobody wanted righteousness. So, oh, my God wouldn't do that. My God wouldn't do that. Oh, you'd be surprised what your God would do. If you don't accept him and his whole word, his whole plan, his whole outlay of what the purpose is for humanity, don't be surprised if you don't make it in the rapture of the church. There was a bunch of people that were surprised that the door was closed and the fountains of the deep began to open up and a flood came. Listen, the Apostle Paul said, don't let the traditions of men. Living for God is not bound by tradition. It's bound by experience. It's bound by that high calling that you have to press your way through. There's times you don't feel like getting out of bed, but you got bills to pay, so you get out of bed anyway. You go to work. Amen? There's times that people will hurt your feelings so severely, but you keep on living anyway. The devil always will try to destroy your faith, destroy your relationship. But you press. I don't feel like worshiping, but I press. I don't feel like praying, but I press. I'll tell you this, once you press your way through to the moving of the Spirit of God into the realm where things begin to happen, when you are caught up in that area of life, that power of God comes flowing into you. And I'm telling you this, mark it if I'm not telling you the truth, that when you get up from a prayer meeting in your home or in your automobile or at the church where you have prayed through and begin to speak in other tongues, you tell me that you don't feel better, you don't feel lighter in your spirit, you don't feel more happier in your life because you've been in the presence of God. Who's your burden lifter? Who is the one who listened to you? Who heard your communications? Who heard your very cry? And sometimes you don't know what to say and you just moan and groan before God.
Amen. Amen.
Oh! Oh! Oh, and when you don't know what to pray for, then the Spirit begins to pray for you. Why? Speak in tongues. Why speak in tongues? Why do you need to start speaking in tongues? Why you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost? I don't care if you're a Methodist, you're a Baptist, you're Church of Christ, you're a Catholic, you whatever you want to put a tag on you, that's fine. You can be a Baptist Costal. You can be a Methodist Costal. You can be a Catholic Costal. You can be a Church of Christ Costal. You can be a Lutheran Costal. Help me out. Who else can be a Costal?
Everyone
can be a Costal.
Everyone.
For whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. What is the water of life? It is the Spirit of God. It is what King James calls the Holy Ghost in the Bible.
Amen.
Praying in the Spirit enables you to pray healing.
Amen.
Praying in the Spirit enables you to pray healing, delivering, yoke bearing. Praying in the Spirit, devil stopping prayers.
Amen.
Without being overran by the world, you can go into God's presence and receive ammunition to shake the gates of hell. Shake the gates of hell. You got to have some dunamis. After you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive dunamis. That's power. It's like dynamite, explosive. After you receive the Holy Ghost, you have power to be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Samaria, you know, other most parts of the world. How did those fellas turn their cities upside down? Because from the day of Pentecost, the birth of the church, they never disconnected from the umbilical cord of prayer. They never disconnected from the umbilical cord of prayer. They had power. Power for living. Power of the darkest hours. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, when you're praying in the Spirit of God, it breaks the yokes that seems to bind you. That's why Satan fights people from praying in the Spirit. Oh, you can say a few words. You can talk to God, but he doesn't want you. Satan does not want you to be filled with the Spirit of God, praying in the Spirit. He confuses people regarding this truth because he knows he doesn't have a weapon to defeat against it. Doesn't have a weapon to fight against praying in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul uses the word tongues, plural, to show his multiplicity of language. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Sometimes we need to speak in our natural language according to our heritage. Sometimes, however, our natural language is not much for warring spirits because earth when prayers in our natural language are being intercepted and shut down by Satan. You know, this, I'm closing, but you know some people, they just won't pray aloud because they don't want Satan to hear what they're saying because he'll create some problems for them. You're running scared. Well, if I say that, then Satan will hear that and I'll have more problems. You need to tell Satan loudly and clearly, open your mouth up, you are defeated by the cross of Calvary. You are defeated at the cross of Calvary. You can see Satan got both fingers sucked right. He's got ears. I don't know if he's got ears or not, but he doesn't want to hear it. Holy Ghost. How do I receive the Holy Ghost? You surrender. Repentance takes care of the flesh. God, you repent. I'm sorry for my sins and my transgressions. You take care of the flesh. Father, I surrender myself to your will and your purpose. That's surrendering of your soul. And then you surrender yourself, your spirit, oh God. And you begin to praise him. When you begin to praise him, worship him, you're surrendering your spirit to him. And as you're worshiping him, and as you're loving him truly from your heart and your soul, they will come like rivers of living waters. Amen. It'll begin to flow from the innermost being. And you can see the countenance on people's face when they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's light. There's a smile. There's a joy. Whosoever will, don't let your flesh keep you from the water. Don't let your soul, who thirsteth, don't restrain it. Let it drink from the fount that never runs dry. Your spirit. Oh, shalamahu shatalama. Absorb the essence of God. Whatever problem you're going through in your life right now, allow the flowing, the intimate relationship of God's spirit connect with your spirit. You want answered prayer? Get in a place where you begin to worship him and love him until the Spirit of God takes over in your life. And Satan don't understand that. It's your direct connection to God. Satan can't tune into that frequency. If you've not received the Holy Ghost, if you've not received the Spirit of God in your life, if you're lacking the power, well, I just need more vitamins. I got to go to the doctor and get a B12 shot to give me some energy. Won't you get a shot of the Holy Ghost? Come on, won't you get a shot of the Spirit of God in your life? Woo. You'd be surprised what a dose of the Holy Ghost will do for you. When's the last time I've spoken tongues? When's the last time I've had direct communication with God? Your flesh is going to fight you. Your soul is going to desire it. Your spirit is ready to absorb it. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Have we got an infilling of the Holy Ghost song? Huh? Come on. I don't care what you call yourself, what your background is. God didn't care when he first started the New Testament church in the upper room. Come on. You say, well, I'm a certain denomination. God's not coming back after a denomination. He's coming back after a people that is called by His name. I've been thus and so for all my life. Well, that's wonderful, but don't forget, you got a life yet to come. That's far more important than the life that you've been living right now. You got a life yet to come. There's going to be a book of life open up one of these days. Is my name written in the book of life? How do I get my name written in the book of life? Because you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, it is the blood of Jesus that covers you. Your name is getting written down in the Lamb's book of life. It was the Lamb's blood that covered your sins. That's why we can say He's coming back after a people that's called by His name. He's not coming back after your denomination. So that's tough, Pastor. That's really, really hard. No, it's not. Because if your soul is hungry for God, your spirit ought to be ready to say, God, I'm ready to receive it.